And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. A lot of things going on in the world of prophetic nature, and let's get right to it. One of the important things that's happening in the world is the America's clash with Russia over Ukraine. Now, Russia and Ukraine are next-door neighbors, and it's much like the United States and its neighbors, Mexico and Canada. Now, if Russia got involved in Mexico, or Russia got involved with Canada opposing the United States, we'd be pretty upset about that, wouldn't we? We seem to think that this continent, in fact, both continents, South and North America, are the province or the business of America. And what are these foreigners from Russia doing over here? Well, they're not over here, but we're over there. In fact, we've surrounded the Russian Federation, and we have military bases all around them. We have missiles aimed at the chief cities of Russia. And we recently went into, this is not commonly known, but friends, we went into Ukraine, overthrew the president. We now have a president called Poroshenko. He's not our president. He's really not Ukraine's president. He's a dummy president who represents the Jews who are actually behind the overthrow of Ukraine. Ukraine is a big nation, a powerful nation, but a poor nation. And so there are a lot of things going on in Ukraine. And, you know, I can tell you about all the history of Ukraine. Maybe I should take the time, but I won't. You'd understand that there is a woman named Nuland, N-U-L-A-N-D, who is Jewish in the U.S. State Department, who has spent American taxpayers' dollars over $5 billion, as much as $10 billion, to overthrow Ukraine. Now, Ukraine depends on Russia for its fuel, for its gas and oil, pipelines from Russia. And this is where everything collides, because we would like to be the supplier for all of that oil and gas. And so Russia has cut off the oil and gas to that country. And the United States brought Israeli snipers into the capital city of Ukraine. And they killed dozens of innocent citizens walking the streets. And thus began the great takeover of Ukraine. Now, Russia vows that it will not allow the West to conquer Ukraine. And the United States, which is poking into Russia's business and the Ukraine's business, has vowed to continue the conquest of Ukraine. We are the conquering party, the United States, along with Israel. You know, I want you to understand something, friends. The Bible speaks very clearly that there is a great beast, and there's a woman who rides the beast. I believe that's the United States and Israel. And Israel tells the beast what to do, where to go, whom to kill. Israel is the woman riding the beast, which is the United States. And right now, Israel is telling us that they want to establish a greater Israel throughout the world, a new world order, what they call the Jewish utopia. The United States has its troops throughout the Middle East, and we are conquering nation after nation for Israel. Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Yemen, on and on. But we cannot really hold on to these nations because we don't have the military power to occupy them. We don't have the budget, the money anymore. So it's our hopes and Israel's hopes that we can simply destabilize these countries, one after another. And ISIS is a United States invention. And we have founded ISIS, set it in its setting inside Iraq and Syria. And we have brought mercenaries from all around the world, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, and others, to fight the people that are there. Our goal right now is to conquer Syria and Assad, the president there, and turn it over on a silver platter to Israel. That's our goal. That's why ISIS is there. And, of course, it's a Grand Duke's, it's a mixed-up stew. Now, back to Ukraine. You've got to feel sorry for the people of Ukraine. Folks, these people are much like us. You go to Ukraine and you think you're in some parts of America, but it's old. It's old, ancient towns and cities, decaying, rusted. It's sort of like America used to be 60, 70 years ago. The people are mostly blonde and, you know, white, fair-skinned. And again, they're lovely, great people. But right now, the Jews are oppressing them. The Jews are setting up concentration camps. They're making the Ukraine another Soviet Union, just like Lenin and Trotsky did in 1917 in Russia. Remember what happened there? The Jews secretly went in, and with money from the United States and Germany, they conquered the Tsar, and they conquered the people of Russia, and they set up a Jewish government, a Jewish dictatorship, and complete with the rabbis who were the commandants of concentration camps called gulags, and they went on to kill 66 million citizens. Now they're in the process of murdering, yes, murdering the people of Ukraine. It will be the jumping off start. It will be the springboard for the Jews going around the world. They believe that all they need are special forces troops that are snipers. And if they can send snipers into various countries around the globe, they can kill people and destabilize the countries. Now, this is the reason for the great sniper interest and the movie by Hollywood, American Sniper, a Clint Eastwood production. You have to understand that Hollywood was requested by Washington, D.C. to do the American Sniper, to make the American Sniper a big hit. That's why we have all this interest in the American Sniper. The Jews, the Israelis, also have their own snipers. They've already taken at least one country, Ukraine. And now they're going to have to go after others. Russia says we will not allow this, and the United States is threatening to use nuclear bombs to destroy Russia. It's a ridiculous situation. I mean, we tippy-toed around the nuclear bomb issue for some 70 years during the Cold War. The Cold War is over. Russia is now a Christian country, and the United States is a demonic devil country. Now, I want you to repeat that again. The United States is a devil, demonic country. And Russia has become a Christian nation. Isn't that an amazing thing? Just astonishing. Now, next week, I'm going to be talking about the most vulgar nation on planet Earth. I will show you how America has become the most vulgar and depraved nation on this planet. Rich, no doubt, the Laodicean nation. Now, I got a letter from Olga Belinskaya. She's a precious lady who works for the American Free Press. Now, we know, Olga, we've worked with her and the folks there ordering books and things from the American Free Press. But she wrote me this letter as a citizen. Yes, she is a citizen of the war-torn region of Ukraine. And she receives letters from the natives who live there. Now, Olga is a citizen of Ukraine. She knows what's going on. She lives now in America. And she's getting these letters back from her fellow citizens there in Ukraine. She wrote me a letter. She says, "Dear Tex, this last week I received many letters from people in the war zone. The tragic letters speak for themselves. I do hope that you will have a chance to read the truth they tell. The situation is unspeakably worse than we have been led to believe. On the bright side," writes Olga, "your audience has great power to help these desperate people. Could you please tell them about the hell on earth that evil people have made there?" And, boy, I tell you, I read these letters and it made me want to cry. It's just like some American small towns, small cities, small villages being ravaged by the Jews, by snipers. Now, from month to month, I'm going to tell you what's happening in the Ukraine. I want you to understand, this is the land of the Khazars. Read my book, DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline. Khazars. This is the ancient Khazaria. It's where the people of Khazaria, Europeans, converted to Judaism and claimed to be Jews. But what they are is a synagogue of Satan. That means those who were Khazars. But the Khazars left and left the people there in Ukraine. And they're Christians. Nowadays, they're Christians. But the Khazars, the Jews of Israel, want to retake Khazaria. They want to go back to their old homeland and capture it for the devil, for Judaism. That's why they're there. It is to be the launching pad, the springboard for the Jews to take over the entire world. Now, this is something that's very interesting. While we're today, you know, let's talk about some secrets. This is volume 222. Once a month, I give you some secrets. You know, these are things the control media just don't want you to know about. But listen to, you know, I mean, Netanyahu came to America. He was here yesterday, today. He spoke to our Congress. This guy is a clown. He keeps saying that Iran has nuclear weapons. In a couple more months, they'll have nuclear weapons. No, they've got them now. Well, in a couple more months, they'll have them. And his intelligence service puts out all this garbage, all this trash. And they make the Iranians into another Hitler. Remember Ahmadinejad? He said he's a Hitler. He said Ahmadinejad wants to wipe Israel off the face of the planet. Well, Ahmadinejad is gone. He lost the election. How can Hitler lose the election? They lied about the guy, didn't they? They told you Ahmadinejad is a monster, a Hitler. He wants to destroy and send the Jews to the he wants to send us to the ovens. That's ridiculous. Ridiculous. Folks, they're Jews going to synagogue and living in Iran today. They're Christians living in Iran today. As far as Ahmadinejad, he lost the election. You see how big a lie Netanyahu has spun? And it seems that they want us to think They first, our own government and Israel lied to us and told us that Saddam Hussein and Iraq did 9-1-1. Now we know that was a fictitious lie. Now they're trying to tell us, and this is the most recent headline, they're trying to tell us that Iran did 9-1-1. Let me read this. This is from the Weekly Standard. Now, what is the Weekly Standard? The Weekly Standard, oh my goodness gracious, is a magazine from Washington, D.C. by Mr. Crystal, the Jew, and he puts out all this propaganda and lies. Well, here's the newest lie. The very week when the United States is having talks with Iran to solve its nuclear problem, to make sure they do not develop nuclear bombs, the very week Netanyahu comes to America at the invitation of John Boehner, John Boehner should stick to his business. The guy has betrayed the Republican Party. He's deceived Americans. He's given Obama Obamacare. He's given Obama amnesty of the immigration. But Boehner wants to run everybody's business, and now he's invited Netanyahu to speak to the Congress. And then this news item comes out. Listen to this from the Weekly Standard. New documents reveal Osama bin Laden's secret ties with Iran. Oh, yes. Osama bin Laden. Secret ties with Iran. This is just incredible. 8 documents recovered in Osama bin Laden's compound in Pakistan. When we went in and killed him, we covered these 8 documents. They're evidence that Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden, well, they were working with Iran. Now remember, Saddam Hussein, we put him to death, hung him. Osama bin Laden, we claim we killed, but we've never seen the body. They've never produced a body. And SEAL Team 6, seems that most of them are dead, the ones that took out Osama. Did you hear what I just said? SEAL Team 6 is dead. They died in an aircraft accident. And now we find out there are documents out there revealing Osama bin Laden's secret ties with Iran. By the way, what was Osama doing in Pakistan? Now, American troops, we invaded Afghanistan. Why did we do that? Because we made up the lie that Osama was in Afghanistan. We told the Afghanis, cough him up. If you don't release him to our captivity, our control as Americans, we're going to invade your country. Overthrow the Taliban. That's what we did. We just knew that Osama bin Laden was hiding there in the caves. He was running the whole world through Al-Qaeda, hiding in the caves there. You know, I don't know how he did that, because think about it. How was he doing that? He didn't have any electric power. He didn't have any cell phone towers. Didn't have any internet service. How was he running? How did he do 9/11 from caves in Afghanistan? In any case, we invaded Afghanistan, and after we've killed 500,000 people there and wasted a few thousand Americans, we suddenly decide that Osama bin Laden is not in Afghanistan. Why? He's hiding up in Pakistan. In fact, his compound is right next door to a Pakistani military base. They're supposed to see the guy day in, day out. So we go up and we've killed him. Oh, yeah. Gave him a burial at sea. Took him out to sea and gave him a burial there. What was that all about? A burial at sea? Well, but now we say he was working with Iran. That's because Israel wants the United States to hate and destroy Iran. Why, they were working with Osama bin Laden. First it was Iraq, we invaded Iraq. Then it was Afghanistan, we invaded Afghanistan. Now it's Iran. It'll always be somebody wanted, friends. There's a concept in America, a concept which means we go to war and we never end the war. We fight, we die, we spend billions of dollars. If our troops come back at all, they come back without limbs. It's just a shame. Well, Numismatic News, that's a newspaper that comes out that talks about new coins that are coming up. They get with the U.S. Treasury and, you know, debate all the new coins. Now, I've never really been that interested in new coins, but let me tell you something about coins and currency. Coins and currency will tell you what a country really believes in, where it's aimed at, what its goal is. That's why we have the dollar bill with the pyramid and the all-seeing eye of Horus, the sun god. That's why we have the Jewish Star of David on the $1 bill, too. Well, Numismatic News, February 17, 2015, gives me the images that have been chosen by our Treasury Secretary for a new $75 gold coin. Now, I suppose this gold coin won't be, you know, you're not going to find it everywhere. But you will be able to get copies of it. You'll have to write to the Treasury and pay them the amount of the money, or a bank can get it for you. And there's two new designs that have been made for this Liberty coin. Now, you know about the Liberty coin, don't you? With Benjamin Franklin on the front of it. You know about the Liberty coin, 50-cent piece. Well, this one has, get it, a black woman. The Liberty coin is being changed. It has a black woman. She's wearing Greco-Roman toga, and she's carrying a torch, the Torch of Liberty. A black woman wearing wheat, sheaves on her head, carrying a flame or torch in her right hand, lifting the American flag with the left hand, and there she is wearing the white toga of the Romans. Now, she's telling us that she is Lady Liberty. Now, if you've got a Lady Liberty coin in your pocket, and I can't remember what all they are, the dime, for example, it's going to be replaced eventually by a black woman. Now, blacks didn't really have much to do with Greece or Rome. And, you know, well, this is just incredible. It says, two images of a modern Lady Liberty will be sent to the U.S. Treasury Secretary, Jacob Lew, for consideration as the reverse or obverse of a 2015 $75 gold coin. The Commission of Fine Arts liked both a design of an African-American woman's face and an image of a black woman in a flowing gown holding a torch and American flags. This is incredible, isn't it? I mean, oh my goodness gracious. Now you know where America's going. Well, some good friends from the state of Michigan sent me something really interesting. And they say that, you know, atheists are getting really big in the state of Michigan. In fact, the Michigan state capitol recently had its Snaketivity Festival. Snaketivity, all one word. Snaketivity Festival. And they developed a Snaketivity scene. And they put it on display on the grounds of the Capitol in Lansing, Michigan. And golly, it's a statue. It's a snake-tivity scene. It features a snake or serpent in the form of an eight, which means for eternity in occult Scientology. And the serpent is offering a book. He's offering a book to the world. It's called Revolt of the Angels. It's from the Detroit chapter of the Satanic Temple. You know, I was talking with a man from Detroit just this week. He's a Texan now. He said, you know, I owned a home there in Detroit. Nice neighborhood, or it was one time. My parents were raised in that neighborhood back in the 50s. Then, by the 60s, it was under siege. By the 70s, the neighborhood was basically gone. And today, he says, the house I lived in is for sale for $1. But nobody wants it. It's a junk, trashed house. It's like most of the neighborhoods in Detroit. They're deteriorated. They're ravaged. The blacks came in, and boy, Detroit looks like it looks like World War III's hit it. It looks like the Mad Max movie of Mel Gibson. I mean, it's terrible. He said, I hope that never happens to Austin, Texas. You won't believe it. If you have the courage, you can drive city block after city block of ruined buildings, destroyed buildings. And you can buy any house you want for a dollar. The city will sell them to you because, you know, they've foreclosed on all of them. They love to sell those. Then they think somebody will go in there and pay taxes on that home. But nobody wants them. And he says the Chinese are talking with the city of Detroit about buying up about one-third of the city. The Chinese want to come in there and buy it up. Not to rebuild the houses. No. They want to raise them to the ground. They want to go in there with bulldozers and destroy all the houses completely, take them down to nothing, and put dirt over them. And this will free up hundreds and hundreds of acres of land. And then they want to use the land for farming and sell Americans the food. Can you believe that? The Chinese want to come into Detroit, buy hundreds of acres of homes and torn up buildings. Boy, incredible, isn't it? Meanwhile, this satanic church in Detroit has set up its snake-tivity scene. The Detroit chapter of the Satanic Temple. Satanic Temple spokesman Jex Blackmore, I don't quite believe that name, Jex Blackmore, told the Lansing State Journal that her group does not really worship Satan, but promotes, quote, individuality, compassion, and views that differ from Christian beliefs. Oh, boy. Yeah. Okay. Folks, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Tex Mars, another edition of Secrets, Volume 222, on Power of Prophecy. The Two Babylons. The Two Babylons. You know, this is one of the greatest books ever written by Alexander Hislop. He was a bishop of the Anglican Church. That was before the Anglican Church turned liberal like it is today. he was a great researcher, and he went forth and studied all of the ancient religions, the mystery religions, the ones the Bible tells you about, of Diana, the goddess, of the ancient Egyptian deities, of Moloch, the god to whom the Israelis actually sacrificed their own children to, Moloch. All of these gods and goddesses are described in Hislop's great book, fantastic book, The Two Babylons. Now, we have copies of that book here. We want to offer them to you for just $20. Now, this is a book that, I'll tell you, it takes a long time to read it. Small print. But I think it's worth it to you. And go through this book and you'll see. It's amazing how many new deities, how many gods and goddesses being worshipped right now in America that actually are ancient. The New Age movement is not new at all. You'll find it was developed based on Babylon, on Greece, on Rome, on Egyptian gods and goddesses. You'll find that Judaism is actually the worship of the ancient mystery religion. This is the most amazing book. Just astonishing. And I'll tell you, it's one of my favorite books of all time. I hope you'll order a copy. Just $20. I don't know how many pages it is, but it's a wonderful book. You'll want it in your library. The Two Babylons, a great reference book. A great reference book. The Two Babylons. Are there more than one Babylon? Well, the book is just $20. Add $5 shipping and handling. A total of $25. As for the book, The Two Babylons, you can phone us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673, or write to us at Power of Prophecy, or to text Mars, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. That's 1708 Patterson, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Or, hey, go to our website. What is that? Well, it's powerofprophecy.com. See how easy that is? Or textmars.com. Now, remember, I have an E on the end of text. And don't ask me how I got that there. But sort of a long story, but Texi, T-E-X-E. I get these phone calls from these robot machines. May I speak to Teex Mars? I know right away it's, you know, a robot type automated caller. Teex Mars. Write to Teex Mars. That's M-A-R-R-S at 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Or to go to my website, just go to textmars.com. There you go. Teex Mars, I suppose. Textmars.com. And order any of our books, videos, CDs, and audio tapes. Hey, by the way, on our next newsletter, I think that'll be, let's see, 1 April. On our 1 April, we're going to have a two-page sheet offering most of our videos. I mean, they're just, oh, they're so cheap. It's because we're getting rid of our old VHS format. I'm so sorry. For those of you who don't have anything but a VHS recorder, you know, We'll do the best we can, but right now we're going over to DVDs, entirely DVDs. And so please go down and get a DVD, $50 or so they cost, and have those. And meanwhile, stock up on these VHS videos. I mean, there's about 100 there we're offering, and some of them are as low as $5 or $6. And they cost $25, $20. We're going to give them to you for $5, the VHS. So look for that, won't you, in your 1 April newsletter. Meanwhile, I want to mention one thing to those who are so good to have given to our projects here. To the Texas Children's Home, please, please, pat yourself on the back. I think God's going to give you a real attagirl, attaboy. Because so many of you have helped. Now, our employees fund, you have helped our employees tremendously by giving to that fund. And naturally, the Power of Prophecy, just to our ministry here. We need your help, and so many of you have given. And we got some good news last week, that a precious Christian sister had passed away, and she left some of her money to a Power of Prophecy. And it's, I mean, we're not talking about a huge sum, but I think the point is that the money that she left to us in her will, it'll probably, maybe keep us going for a couple of weeks. And I just appreciate it so much. You know, we've had people to leave us sums of money in their insurance. Others leave it in their bank accounts with special instructions to the bank when they die to immediately disperse the funds to us. We appreciate any amount that you can help us with. I promise you this, your money will be used for the glory of God. It will be used for the glory of God. We're going to keep getting this message out. That's the amazing thing. You know, they told us they were going to shut us down. They tried to shut us down. They've sent everybody here to try to shut us down. And we just keep rolling. We keep rolling. Now, I'm not going to be pompous and tell you that we'll be here forever. But if you will support us with your love gifts and offerings, and your kind gifts to this ministry, if you'll support us with ordering our books and videos, our CDs and so forth, we'll be right here for you. We'll keep this radio program going. We'll keep the newsletter going to your home, to your mailbox, or right to your home. And, well, I'll just still be making trouble for the devil. I'm going to continue making trouble for the devil as long as I know I've got your support. That's what's important to me. You know, every month I get with Michelle. She's our office manager. And with Wanda, my sweet wife. And Wanda's the bookkeeper. She takes care of the money and such. And they sit down with me and they tell me how we're doing for that month. Did we lose money? Did we make money? Well, we don't have a profit here. I promise you, we have not seen a profit for some years. But the thing is, we get by. We get by. Wanda will tell me this month we're doing okay. And she gives me a little report. And Michelle says, I'm going to get with the phone company and try to get them to reduce the rate of the bills. And it's just an amazing thing what we can do. And this building, by the way, we're in, belongs to Wanda or I, but we just donated it to the ministry. This building we're in, we donated it to the ministry. Now, what does that mean? It means that Wanda and I can't use it. That's okay, though. What can I use this building for? I could sell it. Maybe we could buy a new house, a new car. I don't know. Everybody laughs at my clothes. You know, Jerry? What do you think? Now, I'm not a fancy dresser, but I just people, they laugh because they let me just tell you right now, folks. I used to wear a suit, and I wore a tie. And I would even wear that, you know, to the ministry offices. And I don't know. I just decided I didn't need to impress anybody. And so I have not bought, let's say I did buy a suit because I was worried about I needed one for funerals. So I had to buy a black suit. But I don't think any of my suits are, I don't even have a one or two suits. I wear them to funerals and, you know, when I go out, maybe on some trip somewhere. But I have shirts. I have about 30 shirts. And they're all, you're laughing at this, they're all from Walmart. Every one of them are from Walmart. And they all cost anywhere from $7 to $10. And they're pullovers. You know, they're just pullover shirts. I wear Docker pants. You know, I don't know how much they cost, 15, 20 bucks, something like that. And I have I have two pair of shoes. They're both the same style. So one is a little bit better than the other. So I wear the one for dress. And folks, that's it. I wear these pullover shirts, $7, $8, $9 special. They come in all colors, by the way. Well, you know, they black, red. I mean, they have all color, colors. And I wear them. And it's so easy, just pull them on. You know, you don't have to iron them. Just pull them over and just go. And anyway, that's what I wear. And Wanda keeps jumping on me. You know, she's she says, you should dress up more. Well, I like her to dress up. I do. The ladies here in the ministry, they look good. They all dress up. And, you know, we believe that we should, you know, we're here to serve God. I think God, you know, he understands. I don't know, somebody's going to do a book on my life sometime. And they're going to say, Tex just never really cared for clothes that much. And I don't, you know. Everything in my closet together probably would not be one good suit, would not cost one good suit. And Wanda says, you know, that's your problem, Tex. You're proud of the fact that you dress poor. No, I'm not proud of it, but I like it. You know, I just, you know, whatever I want to wear, I wear. It's just that I have the same kind of shirt. It's, you know, no matter which, well, anyway, I'd like to hear from you folks. Do you think that I should go out and buy these shirts, these nice dress shirts? Would you be just as happy with me if I went to your, you know, to your city to have a prophecy conference? And you got there, and I was wearing a pullover shirt and Docker pants. Would you be just as happy with me? Now, I will say this. When I go to church, I when I go into a church building for a formal service, I will dress up. I'm not one of these guys that say, oh, I can wear blue jeans, a pullover shirt. I don't do that. No. I'm old-fashioned. I dress up. And you know why? Because God's in that place. Not that he's not everywhere, but he's in that place. God's in there, and I'm gonna serve God. But when I go to the office in the mornings, I'll just dress like I want to. Okay? I want your opinion, though. Is that okay with you, folks? If you visited me right now, you'd see I'm wearing a dark color, just a pullover, you know, Walmart special. They have them on a little table there, and they're about $7 or $8, $9, $10. All right. They're going to give me my own brand there, I think. I bought so many of these shirts, you know. Well, you know, they only last about 8 or 9 washings. Then they started to get faded and all that stuff. But in any case, all right. Now let's return to our regular program. I've given out all my secrets. That's what's sad, you know. I've given out all my secrets. Oh, well. Okay. Did you know that there's this church, the Gold Creek Community Church, big church, in Mill Creek, Washington, and this church is asking its followers, its parishioners, to submit to the government. It says, Romans 11 says, we have to, as Christians, submit to the government. Well, and they took a pledge recently at this church. To the government, I pledge to call 911 if I see someone suspicious in my neighborhood. Well, it hosted, this church hosted a law enforcement appreciation sermon, pledging their allegiance to government, arguing that all state authorities throughout history have been ordained by God. Now, folks, if you want to read Romans about what Paul says, that we're to submit to those in authority over us, I don't mind at all. I mean, if you do that, but you got to, it's Romans 13, by the way, Romans 13. The church's pastor, Dan Kellogg, used Romans 13, the Bible verse there, to justify his position. Now, I suppose Hitler and others have used that same verse. And they tell you, you have to submit to the government. Now, our Constitution says that we have a right to vote. And that's the beauty of a democracy, folks. No matter who's in office, we can vote to put them out or keep them in. Now, if you obeyed exactly Romans 13, you'd have to vote for those in office. They'd never leave office, right? You obey those in authority over you. So Obama's in office now. We'd have to give him a third chance and a fourth chance and a fifth chance to be president. You're going to have to use some common sense. Now, let me tell you what Romans 13 says. Paul says, yes, obey those in authority over you. Obey them. But if they defy God or they do not serve for God, do not obey them. Now, I'm paraphrasing Paul, but he makes clear that they serve for God. Our leaders are the representatives, the ambassadors of God. And this gives them a supreme responsibility. And if they don't live up to that responsibility, you and I have no right to serve them, but instead we're to cast them out. And that's the beauty of Romans 13. Of course, the speed limit says go 55, go 55. The taxing authorities say the law says you will pay your income taxes. You'll pay this much. Pay it. I have no problem with that. But when they defy the law, your government, your leaders, your representatives, when they defy the law, you have no responsibility to them. In fact, you should inform them, sir, you're defying the law. You're like Obama really gave 5 million, probably up to 10 million illegal aliens. He put them on a pathway to citizenship and gave them amnesty. That was unlawful. He cannot disobey the law. And if he tells us, you'll just have to obey me because of Romans 13, that's not true. You tell him he is disobeying God. And when a man disobeys God, you have no responsibility to listen to him. None whatsoever. This church has it all wrong. All wrong. Hey, I was reading a recent article in Newsweek. This is July 16th. 2012. Now, I ran across this magazine. It's a couple of years old, but boy, there's a really interesting article about people going crazy on the internet. Yeah. You know, in fact, Sherry Turkle, a psychologist at MIT, says, we're all cyborgs now. We're all your connection with the internet and with the computers makes you a cyborg. Wow, it does? Well, she goes on to say, the net effect of the internet for these last few decades encourages and even promotes insanity. Larry Rosen, a California psychologist, has researched the internet. He says it promotes insanity. You know, folks, I think it does. Aren't you seeing the effects that it has on people? Well, talk about insane. Dr. David Reagan, the poor guy, he's got a doctorate degree. I think it's a legitimate degree. He's a rapture teacher from right here in Texas, I believe. And, I mean, the guy, he's literally putting out essays and writings that are like a clown at a three-ring circus. Now, he recently put out an essay about the Star of David. He says this is a sign from God. It's like God putting his stamp of approval on the Jews. Now, let me get that straight. This is a symbol from God showing his approval of the Jews. Wow. He wrote an article entitled The Story Behind Israel's Flag, Prophetic Symbol of Israel. He says the six-pointed star was given by God to Israel. Well, the book of Amos tells you about it. The book of Acts tells you about it. It's a satanic symbol. And the six-pointed star is coded 666. But he says the design of the flag, Dr. David Reagan, was prophesied by Isaiah over 2,700 years ago. I said, prophesied by Isaiah. I went to Isaiah. I couldn't find one thing in there. Well, he points to Isaiah saying the Lord would regather the Jewish people a second time. Now, I don't understand what that has to do with the six-pointed star. It's a convoluted mess. Boy. He said it's a sign that Israel has been regathered out of the nations by God. That's a sign, the six-pointed star. Where does he get that? In fact, my friends, an evil race of people, an evil generation, does not seek after a sign. How do I know that? Well, Jesus himself said it. He said, "This is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it." Oh, boy. There's going to be no sign given it. My goodness gracious. Now, let me read to you from the book of Amos, chapter 5. It says, "Have ye offered me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? But ye have borne the tabernacle of your Moloch and Kiun, your images." They raised up these images. And what are they? In Amos 5, chapter 25, 26, it says, "They're the star of your God, which ye made to yourselves." You made that, the star of your God. And you worship Moloch, false gods. And you sacrifice the blood of your own children, offered them up to Moloch in Kiun. And Stephen, in the book of Acts, told the Jews in the desert, after God had released you from captivity in Egypt, you turned to these false gods, to Moloch, Kiun, and others, the stars of your gods. Now, Dr. Reagan, in his essay, doesn't talk about Moloch. He doesn't talk about the star gods. He says the six-pointed star is a sign from God. It's a sign from Satan, is exactly what it is. In Acts 7:43, the first martyr to Jesus, Stephen, told the Jews, "Yea, ye took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your god Remphan, figures which ye made to worship them." Dr. Reagan is in real serious trouble. Real serious. Now there's another star I want you to know about, friends. It's the five-pointed star. There's a six-pointed star, but there's a five-pointed star. And the five-pointed star is a symbol of man. Man becoming as a deity, as a god. The Masons use this five-pointed star. And Freemasonry is related to Satan's ancient mystery religion. The five-pointed star was worshipped in the Persian religion of Zoroastrianism. Zoroaster. Their god was Ahura Mazda. Maybe you've heard about Mazda cars. The Japanese. The Mazda cars. They're named after this Persian god. The ancient god. They still have Zoroastrians today. They're fire god worshippers from Persia. Their god, Ahura Mazda. Do you remember the black woman in the Star Trek television shows, Ahura? There you have it. Her name was Ahura. Ahura Mazda, the great god of Zoroaster. Represented by the five-pointed star. What do the Jews call, it is the Jews, because the Jews control Freemasonry from behind the scenes. What do they call the five-pointed star in the Masonic temples, the Masonic lodges? They call this the blazing star. The blazing star. Well, Satan. I received a letter last week. It almost made me want to cry. It was by Ahmed Habib, MD. He's founder and president of a group called United People in Christ. United People in Christ. from Altamonte Springs, Florida. He writes and he begs the Christian world to help the Christians of Syria. ISIS is cutting off heads, is burning people to death. The United States taxpayer is paying for ISIS. We founded ISIS. We did. We founded it. We sponsored it. We want ISIS to overthrow the nation of Syria. And that's what ISIS is all about. Why has ISIS not gone next door and attacked Israel? Because they're a tool of Israel. They do whatever the United States and Israel tell them to do. And right now we're telling them, attack Syria, overthrow Syria, destabilize Syria. And they're killing Christians. ISIS is killing Christians. They've killed hundreds of Christians in Iraq, and now they're killing hundreds more in Syria. You know, before the United States went in after 9/11, and our president and vice president, Bush and Cheney, attacked the Muslims in Afghanistan, in Iraq, and later in Syria. Before that, we were great friends. Now, we actually preached to the Muslims, and the president of Syria and the president of Iraq praised the Christians, allowed us to have churches there, but no longer. So we have closed up thousands of churches, and thousands, at least, of Christians have been massacred, slain, tortured. Brother Abib writes, "Until when, O Lord, are you going to permit what is happening to your people, called by your name, to go on in the Middle East, especially in Iraq and Syria?" They came to Iraq in March of 2003 and to Syria in March 2011. And I suppose he's talking about the Americans. And now they have killed over 300,000 Syrians. 30,000 of them, he says, are Christians. And they have maimed over 400,000. The American military forces have killed these people. And we have empowered ISIS to kill them. We are emptying the Middle East of Christians. Now there are no witnesses. There is no one there to plead the case of Jesus Christ, to preach from the gospel. And so he writes to me and says, "Please ask your people to pray for the beleaguered Christian people of Syria, the beleaguered Christian people of Iraq." And I want you to do that, friends. Please pray for them. They're Christians. They're just like you and I. They love Jesus. Their homes have been destroyed. Their churches have been burnt to the ground. And many of them are being made into slaves. Well, I have so much more for you here, but I guess we're just going to run out of time. It's been great being with you today. We've covered another volume of Secrets, volume 222. I pray you'll tune in next week, where we're going to be looking at the most vulgar nation on earth. I think you know what I'm talking about. We'll talk about it next week. Until then, my friends, read your Bibles, pray as if your life depended on it, because it does, and discover the power of prophecy.